You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now. And they're off. The National Dog off to a flying start there, bolting out ahead. And, oh, what's this? Looks like several of the Labour Dogs have given up racing entirely, instead choosing to walk around in circles, occasionally biting each other. Surely that's counterproductive. Meanwhile, I don't believe this. The Act Dog, honestly one of the shittiest little dogs I've ever seen, has managed to pull himself to the front by biting onto the tail of the National Dog. He's literally being dragged to a podium finish. Here they come now, down the stretch. It's the National Dog way out in front, followed by the parasitic little scamp from Act and some old man wearing a bow tie. Following them is a bright-eyed hermaphrodite, brimming with hope, representing the Green Party and bringing up the rear. That's right, the New Zealand First Dog, who will surely be disqualified for taking a bite out of a Chinese Shar Pei. What a bitch.
It's political commentary.
So reflecting back on 2017, I think a lot of people are doing that at the moment, or have been for a couple of months now, with certain events that have been happening. And not going to lie, a lot of shit has happened. Let's be honest, a lot of shit went down. And we're joined with David Slack today, and we're going to do a wrap-up of the year in politics. Thanks for coming morning, in this Heather. Morning.
My pleasure. And that was nice hearing altered images. When I was about, this is the most dad thing I'm ever going to say, about your age, that was the, one of the albums I got for Christmas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
It is a happy song.
Yeah, it is. They're a happy band, actually. But thank you so much for coming in this morning. And, yeah, we're just going to have a little bit of a look at the year. What was the most memorable political happenings, do you think?
Trump. I mean, you know, everything else. It kind of captures everything that Brexit had as well, and a whole lot of malaise that you're seeing all across the world. And the thing for me that I really wasn't expecting was this. You know, for some years now, I've been talking, like a lot of people have been, about the growing inequality and saying, you know, if you don't do something about this, there are going to be pitchforks. What I didn't get, what I would never imagined, was that when the pitchforks turned up, I'd be on the other side.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that is the weird thing about this sort of stuff. It doesn't follow a nice, orderly pattern. It's not what you think it'll be. It turns into something random, and you get a whole confusion of different symptoms going on at the one time, so that, sure, you can say, oh, this is economic anxiety, but I saw some nice tweets yesterday being sarcastic about, oh, yeah, look at the economic anxiety, as they're commenting on people being just plain flat racist.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole lot of hatred in bound up in it as well, whole lot of insecurity, whole lot of unease. And this is what happens when you don't have an orderly kind of a society, where an economy, a political strategy, where everybody feels they've got a place and they feel confident about the world. And this is the thing about democracy. It doesn't necessarily hold together in a tight, glued way. And the worst thing is, it can actually start to fray a lot more swiftly than you would ever imagine. And this is what I worry about. You know, like you said, people are not going to like 2016 all that. People have not liked 2016 all that much. But by the middle of bloody next year, I'm just wondering if we're going to be looking back nostalgically, romantically to 2016 when the shit wasn't going on with this guy actually in the White House.
So what do you think? Know? What do you think is going to happen? I mean, obviously Trump isn't president yet, but he's already been making decisions that have been really upsetting people.
I mean,
it's hard to know. I know.
Yeah, but I know. I certainly look at the way he's picked all of his cabinet, and so many of them are just so demonstrably antagonistic or hostile to the very ethos of the role they've been appointed to. For example, environment.
That's a big one.
Yeah. And God, it's frustrating because, you know, we have these large, large problems, climate change being the greatest of all. And here we have a clown who doesn't believe the science, and a whole bunch of people gathered around him who don't either. And at the very worst time, we're potentially heading in the other direction. What I'm really hoping is that because he's such a fuckwit, you know, things are going to just fly apart. And and I really hope they do,
because I
want to see the wheels come off. Turning it on its head, because I've talked to people who say, well, actually, I can see some possibility here. Hooton, for example, he thinks that maybe the international strategy they take might be more advisable than the one that both Bush and Obama pursued, which was essentially a kind of a fond liberal hope that you could do good things in the world, and Hooton being the kind of steely guy he is, thinks that maybe you're better off not getting involved in that way. If they do a whole lot of infrastructure spending, well, that's not so different from what Franklin Roosevelt did after the Depression, and that could actually be good for the economy. Okay. So, you know, there's some possibilities in there.
Yeah, but it's just if they...
Yeah.
And what about within New Zealand?
Yeah, and here, well, two things really. Housing.
Yep.
I mean, front and centre. Yep. It is just a scandal that the cost of a house is so far out of the imagining of anybody who's under 40, really. You know, and I don't just mean Auckland, although I do mean it principally. You know, there was a time when you could buy a house for about two or three times your annual income. You cannot do that now, not even an apartment, for 9 or 10 times your income. And where the hell is the possibility for anybody in getting a house in that scenario? So meanwhile, the government kind of recognized at a certain point, and I think actually the crucial point was when TV3 went out and took their camera and showed people sleeping in cars, and everybody said, holy shit. Mm. And that actually, I think it's changed the popular, you know, comprehension of it all. But it seems to have done for the government is make them think, oh, we've got to mollify people here, rather than, oh God, this is really bad. And that takes me around to John Key, the other big deal. And I said the day those guys were elected back in 2008, I reckon they'll be remembered in the end, not for what they did, but for what they failed to do. And here we are. You've gone through all of these years. Sure, they steered us through the GFC in the sensible way, which was to say to borrow so that they could keep spending so that the economy didn't contract. And they did have an earthquake to deal with, although I think they get far too much credit for how they dealt with it. But the largest thing is housing. There you have this huge problem, and he and his government have failed to do enough, or even something approximating enough, to fix that problem. And for that, on top of many other problems like poverty, they get a D. In my scorecard.
A D from David Slack. Yeah. Was there anything that happened this year that made you feel optimistic? I mean, I know there's been a lot of...
Holy crap. I'm thinking... I would say that, yeah. I really liked how the whole cycleway construction in Auckland has been expanding, and how slowly but steadily Simon Bridges in particular has supported it nationally. And there's a real sense now that actually if you have proper cycleways and separate them altogether from roads, everybody's happy. And my great excitement, right at the start of the year, I ran into him at the supermarket. He said he'd just come down on his electric bike. He said, oh, do you want to have a blat? I did. I got on this e-bike and I went around the new World Supermarket in Devonport. And I went, holy crap, this is amazing. And I am not kidding when I say I think these things could change the world. They make the world flat, because suddenly you can go up and down hills and you don't get a sweat. The electric bike. And that means that everybody could be going everywhere on these things. Now, sure, you can't go to Wellington on one, but you can sure as hell get around all of Auckland in one. And here comes now the Sky Path and all of these great cycleways. You could, I see huge tourist possibilities for it, you know, where you'd guide people on their e-bike, just glide from one end of Auckland to the other. How cool would that be?
Yeah, it would be pretty cool.
And meanwhile, the rest of us just get around that way instead of getting in our cars and hating each other.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
that makes
a lot
me
of
optimistic.
Stress.
It took a moment, but I got one.
Were there any themes running through the political events in the year?
Well, that pitchfork one, I think, is the one that sort of overarches everything else. That whole sense that people feel, God, where's my place in this? A whole lot of hostility too. You know, that a lot of, I think, what happened in America and in Brexit is I've got mine, piss off. you know, don't. There's no place for you here. Whatever it is, whatever you are that I am not, I'm hostile to you. You know, there's a sharp elbowed kind of sensibility to all of this that you I think you get when people get uneasy. That the interesting thing is if things get really bad, and actually you've seen that at moments like earthquakes, but you also mostly saw it in the Second World War, when things are really bad, people all come together.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, if you want something optimistic here, at a certain point, if things get really bad, we may actually find a common spirit. And God knows, that's what we need. The absence of common spirit, we need to have that restored.
Isn't it sad that you need something big and bad for people to of link arms?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, either it's a meteorite that takes out, several hundred thousand people, or just one that goes down, that comes down Fifth Avenue and gets in the lift and goes up to the top floor and takes out Trump. I mean, I'll take either one, really.
Well, thank you so much, David Slate, for joining us this morning and also for contributing to the political commentary.
It's always a pleasure, Hannah.
Throughout the year, and have a good Christmas.
You too.
And hopefully 2017 we'll be able to talk about new, good, happy things. Yes, we can be happy. Politics can be happy as well. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us this morning and have a good Christmas.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.